a postgraduate course. So Sian and I teach on the same program, but in different courses. So I walked in here and I thought, what are you doing in here, Sian? You could be explaining what you do, because she also gets some really good discussion going as well. So it's always good to hear what people are doing and how they're setting up their courses in order to facilitate the discussion online. So just a little bit of background, our students are all registered occupational therapists, so they're all working pretty much full time. There'd be very few that would be part time and studying part time. They're usually doing one course at a time. And the course I've chosen in Sian's is another example. They're often doing it for professional development, so they're not actually enrolled in the postgraduate certificate, or they are, but in their minds they're not. They're doing one course, they might do another course, and then they might disappear, we'll never see them again. Only a few will keep going. It's totally distance-based, so we never see them face-to-face. So there is that early bit, and again back to Julie Salmon's model about the access and motivation. The first couple of weeks is really about them getting to grips with the technology. Now, what we've found over time in this profession is that they've got more and more confident with the technology. So we have less and less problems at the beginning with people saying, I can't get on, or I don't know what I have to do, or I'm uncomfortable with the internet, or whatever. And I think it depends on your professional group as to how they're going to come into the courses. I know we're getting less and less, because I get less of the emails saying, help, help, I can't do it, or less coming from the staff saying, I can't sort it, so maybe the staff are getting better at sorting it as well. We support their learning through books of readings, or CD-ROMs of readings, and fortnightly teleconferences. So that opportunity to come together as a group often happens fortnightly in a teleconference situation, and that's where they really, I think, start to get to know each other as a group, and where they start to feel that they're actually on the course. Some of the things I do to try and support, and working through Julie Salmon's model, so if I go to the discussion boards. Little tips, I always have my latest discussion forum at the top of the page so that they don't have to go hunting. And that they don't click onto it and go, oh, there's nothing new, and forget, because a lot also forget to scroll. They don't realise initially there's a scroll bar down the side, and a lot more forums. I have a class here of 15, and I was just saying to Terry, it's been the least vocal group, and I've been teaching online for a long time, the least vocal group I've ever had, and this is the second course of time I've run this course, very similar. So I'm starting to think, you know, it's a bit like if you teach years of students, you get 1 year in, and in tutorials they're buzzy, 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 you know, they really discuss well, you often feel like you can step back and let them get on with it. But the next year, same class, same lecturer, same content, and you feel like you're pushing something uphill every tutorial, and I feel like this class is maybe a little bit like that. So they started with, and I always have an introduction week, which is really, in the first week you'll see, again, I try and tie it really tightly to the topics we're doing, and so they can find stuff easily. You don't want to make it hard to find stuff to begin with. So I've said in week one, learning activity one, introductions. And if we went to my course notes, you will see that I would have somewhere in week one a learning activity one, which would be about your introductions. So I try and use the same language between the discussion forum and the course docs, course documents. And so I ask them to do things like, you know, introduce yourself. As you read the introductions, try to find some links with others in the class. Tell us what they are. And I actually set up a chocolate fish award, which wasn't a virtual one, it was actually a real one. This group, and I had quite a few people come in late, actually did very little, you know, they did nice introductions about themselves, never went back to read anyone else's because they didn't do the linking. The same group, the same number of students last year, I think I had something like 100 messages in that first forum because they went back and they linked. So there's something about the nature of the group I've got this time that aren't getting into it in the same way, and I'm still trying to tease out in my head what that's about. So access and motivation, when you think about Julie Salmon's, is really thinking about what's the entry level your students are coming in at, what's the skills you think they might have, therefore what do you have to set up within the course in terms of giving them really specific instructions. So you'll see here I've got even down to the, we're going to use this forum to introduce the rest of the group. You do this by clicking on a reply to my message or clicking on add a new message. Careful to click on the title of the message, not on the person's name. If you click on their name, you end up sending them a personal email. You won't see it. So it's very, very, very precise about what they need to do so that they've had the paper-based instructions, they can access the online instructions, but I'm also giving them the instructions again when they need them. That's probably one of my tips. And trying to find an activity that's going to encourage them, because the therapists doing this course are right throughout New Zealand, so they often don't know each other. The other thing is in the introductions, without actually showing you, you'll see students' names, what they've written. You'll pretty much see, unless they were busy in a day and I didn't get there, Rita is a tutorial assistant in there. She actually did the course with me last year and she's come back as a tutorial assistant this year. So almost as soon as they've posted, one or either of us have replied to say, yes, it's right and I've read it and it's great, and did some kind of connecting for them as well. I think it is, because otherwise if you don't go back, you can see how far this has spread. March, the first one's it's over a month of introductions that the late students came in, so I think that's part of the reason they haven't formed as groups. I think the immediacy is important, because I know when I've been online, if I've left something and I go back 2 days and have a look and no one's said anything, I kind of go, well, either no one's interested, no one's out there, I'm just talking to the computer, what I've said is boring, so no one wants to talk to me. And so my motivation starts to drop off.
Do you get some ground rules at the beginning as to, you know, when you're going to reply, so other than a period of time?
If it's a really, really productive, active group, then I might, after several weeks, say, okay, you guys are going great guns together. I'm reading, but I'm not posting, because you've got it sussed. So I'll be here. I haven't yet felt that my groups have been so big that I've had to say my office hours are only Wednesday and Friday, and that's the only time I'm going to look at my discussion forums.
Oh, I knew but you would say that if they post anything after 5 o'clock on a Friday, right, you won't get a reply.
That's wrong,
Monday. Just that they don't sit there and expect all weekend to have something coming around here.
Yeah.
Because they do tend to work over the weekend when I'm not working.
Not this group. This group's the lowest. It's really good to have a look at your course stats, because you can see what your group's like. This group's most active on a Thursday, for some reason.
How do you check that out?
Your course statistics are down in your control panel.
It can show you at the end.
Yeah. And then you just go into course stats, and you can look at all sorts of things. But it does help. I've just actually wrapped the group up, because we're not getting, by now we would normally have moved in terms of Julie Salmon's stages, probably to stage 3 and sometimes even to a little bit of stage 4. But because they're not being online that much, I've actually contacted them all and said, look, how are you doing? Tell me where you're up to and tell me how the discussion boards are working for you or not. And that's been really interesting to get the feedback about why they're less. And the things are really around time. People are saying, I'm working full time, I run a private practice, I've had family come to stay, I'm just trying to get to grips with the readings at the moment. Once I've got to grips with the readings, then I'll feel prepared to post, which I think behind that is a little bit about the fact that you think you've got to have the answers right. Mm-hmm. Even though I've said, right at the beginning, I have this, at the beginning, feedback, before starting. And in the course structure, I give them a little bit about my beliefs that have underpinned the development of the course and some of my expectations. And they are things around that through discussion is how we really build the knowledge. I'm not actually an expert in the area. I have a passion about the area. I have the resources and a framework that I've built for them to help them to come to grips with it. But they've also got lots of experience. So even though we've said that online and I've said it in the teleconferences and I've kind of hinted at it in the emails, people are saying to me, I'm really, really sorry. I haven't had time, whatever. So it's really interesting, because you have the best designed course, but if you've got people who are very heavily committed in other areas and you haven't the majority of them on your course, you don't get enough of the modelling of people coming in and doing it to actually then make you push it up your priority list and come in. So yeah, I just try and set up some of the expectations so they're really clear. Some of my discussions but my next one, we went down to 39 messages, because we actually asked them to talk about a child they have. And again, I tried to get them to make some connections. Oh, someone like you're working with is someone I'm working with. And a little bit of that started to happen, which was really neat, and we could back out a wee bit. but then we haven't kept on progressing. For the discussion forums, I tend to try and take things like from on the same topical or something that's maybe really new to them that they're struggling to get to grips, they might struggle with in the readings, and that becomes my discussion forum. This one, because we're also working in the school about how to get therapists who have maybe studied for a while to be quite critical about what they're reading, because it's postgraduate level, which is, I've created a forum where I've actually asked them to start to put together a little mini essay of three paragraphs around one or other questions that we've just done for their course readings, and to post those so that I can give some feedback. But it's twofold. One is so that I can see where they're coming from or their skill in academic writing, so I can start to give them some feedback so that when they come to write their final assignment, they know what I'm looking for. But also so that they can start to see what others are thinking around the material. But this one's been up now for 10 days and I've got 11 messages, and actually in those 11 messages there's only two people that have posted up their little mini essays of three or four paragraphs. And again, people are telling me I'm behind in my readings, I'm trying to get my head around it. I think it's a good thing to do, so it's not putting them off, it's just I haven't yet had the time to do it. So I have to think about this group a bit more. Normally by now, like Bronwyn was saying, I'd be breaking them into groups to deal with some of the material and to talk about its application and to debate and discuss it. But if I divided them into groups now, I think I'd either get one of two things. I'd either get them working better because it's a smaller group and they're not exposing their ideas to everybody in the group, but like Sian was saying, although I don't think that's behind their non-discussion, or I'm going to get groups that are going to do nothing because they're all, you know, what they're telling me is they're going to use the Easter break to all catch up. So I'm hoping they'll all be caught up and then we can start again with some different activities after Easter and get some of this discussion going. That does mean that they engage more with the material. But they're all, except for one, new to postgrad study in this course. And so they've come in with the assumption that I'm either going to deliver them with the material or they're going to learn about it from their readings. And as Rita, who's the tutorial assistant, said, she said, you know, they've paid a lot for this book of readings. And I said, well, what do you mean? And she said, well, they've paid $600 for a book, basically. That's all they're getting out of it at the moment. They're using their book of readings and they're interacting with the print material, and it's an awfully expensive textbook. So I've just been trying to think about, can I word this in a way across them to say, you know, there's more to this course than reading. You will get more out of this course than if you just read. And at the moment you've paid $650 for a textbook. Would you normally do that? But I've backed off a bit and I'm just doing the wee bit around. Let's have a wee think about how things are going and where are you up to.
So do you have a timeline? You know, they should, a suggested timeline to the end, but they should be decision.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a course schedule. So that says, you know, this week, it's quite tiny, but it's like the date, the week number, the topics we're doing, the learning outcomes for it, and when our teleconferences are being held. So they know what they should be working towards. But some of them came in the course well into the second week, sometimes early into the third week, and you pretty much, I find, can say that the first week is a write-off in terms of getting into the content. For these students, the first week is about getting to grips with what the course is, how it's organised, what they might be doing, how do they find all the bits, how do they put all the bits together, because I think no matter how clearly... The thing for me is, and I found when I did an online course last year, and it really blew me away because I thought, I know online learning, I'm really comfortable with online learning, this is cool. Got on there, and it took me a whole week to work out how this course fitted together. And where I was supposed to be, when I was supposed to be, and what I was supposed to be doing. And these were really expert online facilitators and online designers of courses. In fact, that was part of the problem. It was so complex in how they had conceptualised it. And it wasn't really clear how you went from one to next. And so that was a really important lesson for me, for the postgrad students, to think about the first week is probably them really working out what this whole thing is about and how it hangs together. When it's not a course where you go to class and you expect the lecturer to tell you everything you need to know.
And this is the exposure to online facilitation.
Yes, so there's lots and lots of new stuff in there. mean, Sian's got a good example of what you do for inclusive design and wheelchairs and seating, about how you stick them out too across your first couple of weeks.
Oh yes, when we first introduce them, we get them to just come into certain areas, and then I will ask them to go from that. I'll ask them perhaps to have a look for a particular article, which means they've got to come in, they've got to go to the online library facility, they've got to go through and search, they've got to do that. And then if you want, but it's not just the exercise. If you want it, the content that I want them to get, but the whole process of getting it. So I actually up what I'm asking them to do within the system itself, and then I ask them to go to various web pages and access things that I have there. So if you want to make it more and more, the way they're actually navigating around the whole of the Blackboard system and what I've put on it gets more and more complicated as we go through the course, but they're not as wary, but
not bombarded with
no,
everything
at the beginning. But I still think that there are some people who are very, very reluctant, and if it's there and it's just on one thing and it's in front of you, you can scroll down and have a look at it. That's where a lot of people just stay quite happily. And you have to make it very, very exciting for them to want to move on.
So I guess in terms of my time commitment, the first couple of weeks, I'm prepared for it to be quite time intensive because I'm responding to individual postings initially. I'm responding to people's emails if they're stuck around things. I'm responding on the phone, like Terry said, I have done with people when they've got stuck and rung me up, and I'll talk them through what it is they need to find. And then what I try to do is aim to pull that back, so as they start to get comfortable with the medium, as they start to talk to each other, and I talk to them about the fact this isn't you talking to me, this is about talking across the group. I want to be a member of the group, I don't want to be the person who has to respond all the time. And if you can get that going, this group's not a good example of it, but if you can get that going, then I start to pull out, and it might be only around 3 or 4 postings that I might respond, or I might do like Bronwyn was saying, I'll do a summary at the end of the week, this is the sorts of things that have, or topics that have come up. Or I've never yet got to, and I don't know why, except I think it's around timing, because this is only a 14-week course, and they're really busy, I've never got to others moderating, because it's not an outcome for our course that they learn to moderate online. They've got enough that they're trying to get their heads around. So, but you'll get some people that will do that, and in a group task, you might get them doing that.
So apart from what you already guessed, is there any other ideas why you think this group will lack online?
I don't think I've got enough people in that have done a course previously online.
How many have you got now?
I've got 15 in this group, and I think I've only got one who's been online before. And in a postgrad course where the discussion forums weren't used a lot, potentially. And then I've got the tutorial assistant, and she kind of switches between sometimes acting as a student, because she thought, oh, this is really exciting, I'm thinking about this, like in terms of my practice, and sometimes as a tutor, she switches back and forth between. I think trying to try what she can get to get them going, as she knows they should from her previous experience, or could.
If you were going to step this down into the undergraduate,
I might go to the having to post a certain amount of times, but the quality, not the percentage. But then that ups your time in terms of of checking and assessing and determining the quality of. And even when you do that, sometimes, because one of our honour students is doing the University of South Australia online course, and she has to have so many postings of a certain quality. And she said, but when you go in, some of the postings are bare, you know, just hitting the bare, whatever would give you a grade of 1 or whatever it is. And she said, and they're rubbish. So as a student, you have to scroll through the rubbish to get to the... So I'm always very wary about that.
How
do you grade
quality?
About whether you develop an idea further, whether you... And that's the other issue. When you do that, depending on your topic, sometimes if the first couple of people, and that's what she's finding, she's saying to me, it's a vocal group, it's probably about 10, it's multidisciplinary, some of them are quite obviously high achievers or know a lot about research already. And they get, the topic starts on a Monday, they get online on a Saturday and Sunday. And so they've zoomed through the reading somehow, like they're a week ahead almost. And so they get on there because they're going for the marks, but also the challenge. And they put these really great postings on. And she says, I get left thinking, because she gets to it Wednesday or Thursday, this is her management time, going, well, what else can I say apart from I agree? So you've got to really keep
I mean, you're assuming that people are going to kind of share that around. If it's almost like a face-to-face class, those are the people you want to say after 3 weeks, shut up. Has someone else have a turn? Because they're not letting anyone else in. They're getting in and doing their posting because that suits them personally. So that's kind of some of the downfalls of kind of marking asynchronous communication. My philosophy has always been I try to create the activity that's going to make them want to go there. And that if we do that enough times, then they get into the pattern of going there. And then they get something out of being there, and then they'll come back again. But
critical mass that you think you can handle this course? Like
critical mass for this is, you've had 18 in inclusive design. I had 17, I think, in the SI course. As soon as I 17 in a course that was very productive and very busy in discussions, I split into groups very quickly. And I had them working in groups of two or three groups. Because the thing they said to me is that it started to put them off going on to the discussion forums as well, because you would open up and see if you'd missed 3 or 4 days because you'd been away or sick or really busy with work, 80 postings. Like, it's almost like open and shut again because you just can't.
Obviously, your management are quite trained well. Just reading the other times where we'll be trying to implement it and get numbers such as 3 figures have been coined around.
And also we're governed by teleconference as well. You can only get so many hours. We only have an hour teleconference. So to allow you to get around everybody and everybody to have a fair say, you have to limit your numbers, otherwise people will be able to sit there and not say anything.
Yeah.
I tried to get my class to come to a teleconference. They might want to clarify some things about
Simon.
One of them, you can hear it screaming from here, I can't devote any more time to, you know, another thing.
Mm-hmm.
Others probably got 2 or 3 people that were keen, but it didn't fit the times, or suggested it didn't fit with their work, their teaching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's quite difficult to organise that, so we didn't have it. But I did a wee survey first to find out they actually wanted one. Rather than imposing it on them because it wasn't actually part of the course, I was going to bring it in afterwards.
Last year you were at UCAT for one of the first workshops, and then I can't remember his name.
Oh, yes.
But he talked about easy discussion board in first year psychology.
Yes.
And he used the fourth year students
to moderate the first.
Yeah. And he also had, he had all these ideas. He kind of had very limited time as to when the discussion board forum was actually open. He was open and closed, and that was it. He didn't contribute anymore. And he talked about his different hats. And I was just wondering whether you have used that approach or the lots of Ron's used that particular approach where they have, like, I don't remember what
they
were, but
they did like role play.
I've
used role play in one of my courses at one stage about, you know, you are the whatever in the team you are, because they're like whole case teams. And to this topic, how might you come to this perspective or argue it from the point of the manager who's got a funding limitation, argue it from the point of the OT who thinks this is the best thing since sliced bread, argue it from the point of the nursing manager who can't make sense of what it's all about, so why should they support it anyway? And that worked reasonably well. Yeah. And I think if we had more of those, they would have got more of the swing of it and kept going.
They knew it was you, though, didn't they? I mean, I think with kick signers, you've got to be really careful that you're not tracking them. Ethically, I think they've got to know that
I wasn't
who
part
you
of
are,
it.
But that you are pretending to be someone else, rather than that you jump into an online discussion
as another student.
They don't know who you are.
How easy is it? How quick it is to set up a new a course? Like, we're doing our course in the classroom, but we're trying different options of trying to deliver maybe just a unit of the course online.
Grateful that's not what development means.
Think about how to do it.
So we still have to develop. But, or if you've got money in your pot in your school, you can request technical assistance. But you've still got to work as the expert about the content. You've got to work quite close to the people putting it on, which actually is very time consuming and time consuming.
I think for me, it gives the take. Now it is the same time. Whether I prepare something face-to-face or I prepare online, there was no difference in time for me. But I also recognise that that's because I've been doing it for a number of years, so I've got into a way of thinking about it. When I first started doing it, I was taking stuff that had been face-to-face. And often, because you're going online with it, really rethink. Because I always start with what is it that I want students to be able to do differently at the end of this class, and therefore what activities or what things do they need and do we need to do in order to enable that? So that principle holds true whether it's face-to-face or online. And that's what guides my thinking now, and I'm familiar with the tools so I can do it more quickly. To begin with, I used to think about, could I put it this way, should I put it that way? And then getting quicker with things like creating the slides or whatever took me a little while. So it was probably for every hour that I would have normally spent preparing something for face-to-face, which I could run off a lot more quickly, it was probably another 2 hours. Do it online, but now it would be hour for hour or half an hour for half an hour.
Design.
It depends on how sticky you're trying to make it. Like, I've got no video clips, I've got no audio files. We're still running pretty much on text, discussion forum, and we've got other things we've done.